Well, great, Mats. It's great to be back with you and Sarah and the church there in Malmo. We've been in the United States for the last several months, itinerating and visiting the churches that support us. And so we've had a lot of interaction with different people. And it just is really amazing. I appreciate so much, Mats, what you just shared about on Google, the words that are being Googled, and in the UK, the numbers of young people who are coming to the Lord, and all that. Every church that I went to, it just is amazing how God has sustained them and helped them financially during this time when they couldn't even meet. And yet, many pastors told me that their budget was above this year, where their budget was above what it was last year. And so we're just excited. I can't explain that except that God takes care of his people. And that's one of the things I want to talk to all of us this morning about, and that is how God does take care of us even in negative moments in history when things are very difficult. God wants to take care of all of his children. So it's great to be back in Europe. I'm back in my office today. You can see my blue chair. So I love this chair. It's actually a pretty expensive chair. I was at IKEA, and I saw it 1 week, and it was like, I don't know, I remember for sure, I think it was like €159. And I'm going, I'll never pay that for a chair. That's way too expensive. And so we went back the next week, and I always go to that place where they have brought stuff back and people have returned it for one reason or another. And whereas this is a blue chair, the one I had looked at and wanted was a black chair, but this one was in that room and it was 50% off. And I'm going, well, now that's a pretty good deal. I got this chair for the only sacrifice was the color. And of course, it's not that, I'd prefer blue over black. It wouldn't be my first choice, but it's not bad. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to get this chair. And so I got the chair. That was many years ago. And as it turns out, I kept going back to that room in IKEA, and every piece of furniture in my office I found in that room for sometimes more than 50% off. And it just is amazing how God takes care of us. And in fact, just yesterday, my wife and I, my wife has been fussing with me about my coffee pot. She has her own espresso. I mean, it's just a major machine that we got in Germany at 50% off. One time on our way back from Malmo, we stopped and at this coffee place, and you got. But anyway, we were at yesterday at Media Market and looking for a coffee pot, and she had been researching because she didn't think that my coffee pot, it's what, 8 or 9 years old, and it was not, it doesn't get hot enough, and so the coffee isn't nearly as good as it's supposed to be. So she kept saying, well, we need a coffee. I said, it's just for me. She said, no, it's for me. I need to be able to get decaf at night and for when company comes. And so she had a whole list of reasons as to why we need another coffee pot. Well, it turns out the coffee pot that she wanted was really expensive, way more than I wanted to pay for a coffee pot. My idea of coffee and a coffee pot is one where you put a filter in the top and you pour a little bit of coffee in and you run the water through it, it drips down, and you have this big pot of coffee. And that pot costs what, $19 or €19. Well, coffee pots today are much more sophisticated, and they've got many settings that are way more than what we need. One of them has a family counseling. You have a problem with your wife, you just push this button and it will counsel. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, this coffee pot's real expensive. But we go into the Media Market, and it just turns out, we're talking to the guy that sells them, that this weekend they've got $80 off that coffee pot. And I'm going, whoa, that's exciting. So all that just to illustrate that God takes care of his children. He grants us the desires of our hearts. He helps us with challenges that we have. And so I'm just rejoicing today at his care for all of us. Now, by the time we got back to Europe, we had taken 3 COVID tests and had to be in quarantine because there's another lockdown here in Belgium. And after 7 days, you can get another COVID test. And if you pass that one, then you can get out of the quarantine early. And so Wednesday, we went down and got the COVID test. And as it turns out, we were negative again. And so 4 negative COVID tests in just a few days. And so we're safe. And if we were coming to visit you, we could say we're safe and we're not going to pass the virus on to anyone. But we're living in a very frustrating time. We're living in a time of challenge. There's so many things that are going on. And yet it's a time when God's people can arise and be the church. Because I was talking to Mats earlier, and the truth is, the message of hope isn't coming through anywhere else in the world except through the Church of Jesus Christ. We, as God's people, have a message of hope for this world, and God is using us in a mighty way, as Matt's mentioned earlier. And so it's really not surprising that this negative is going on because we've been reading about it in the Bible. It's been prophesied. In fact, God never does anything but what he doesn't tell his prophets. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." And so much of what's happening right now has been prophesied before. And so we were kind of expecting it. We know that it's coming, and now it's here. And it's really kind of fascinating in many ways. The prophetic words of the Old Testament, even things in the New Testament, are coming true exactly the way the Word of God tells us. So we need to be confident in God's Word, that He is sharing and He is speaking to us, and He's using us for His glory. It's really an exciting moment. So the last time we were together, I think I mentioned a verse in Matthew chapter 16. I'd like to pursue that a little bit more today. Matthew 16, 18 to 19. And it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." I just want to say that again. "And the gates of hell will not overcome." No matter what forces in this world comes against God's people and God's church, the gates of hell will never overcome the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And I think we could reinterpret that just a little bit, that whatever you lock on earth with the keys that God gives, whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. So keys represent the power and the productivity and the direction of the kingdom of God. We've got to use the keys that God gives us, and keys represent trust, power. They represent authority. Keys are required to get in a house, to start the car. If you want to go anywhere, you got to have a key to start the car. If you have something locked up in a lockbox, it requires a key to unlock it. And so God gives us keys to unlock the truths of the kingdom of God. What a powerful thought that is, that when we become responsible before God. In fact, I want to read this quote. Jack Hayford said, "When Jesus said that he would give his disciples the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he based it on each one's coming to the same place of understanding that Peter had reached when he said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" In other words, the keys are given to people who will recognize Jesus as their king and who yield to his rule as the mandate for their own lives. It is then that he says, "Now I am transmitting to you a representative role." And Jack goes on to talk about a teenager. He says a teenager has to prove his responsibility before dad will trust him with the family car and give him the keys. So keys are valuable to anyone who's responsible. And what God is saying to us in this passage is, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." that whatever you lock or whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked or locked in heaven. What a powerful thought that is. And so they're available to anybody that's responsible. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 39, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you know, this is still true today. Peter said this 2,000 years ago, but it's still true today that forgiveness for sins is available to everybody. And he goes on to say, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom God, the Lord God will call. In other words, anybody, young or old, anybody, fat or skinny, I'm sorry for saying that, but old or young, tall or short, it doesn't matter about your lot in life, that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus can be forgiven of their sins and have the keys of the kingdom at work in their lives and use them in their ministry and in their work. And the first key that I'd like to talk to you this morning about is praise. Now, I want to go back a week. This week I've been praying about what I would be saying this morning. And yesterday when I woke up, I had this tremendous anointing. I mean, anointing greater than I've experienced in many years. It was really, really unusual. And I said, God, this is wonderful. I just thank you so much. The presence of God filled the room where I was. And I felt the Holy Spirit surging in my body. And it was just really, really exciting. But throughout the day yesterday, that anointing began to dwindle. And as I was preparing this message, my thoughts, I was having trouble organizing my thoughts. And I'm going, God, what's going on? And I had some thoughts down and this thought here and that thought. And I want to say this, but I want to say this first. And I had this whole series and I was struggling with what I was going to be saying today. And so I went to bed. I was, you know, I'm still kind of in jet lag. And about 9 o'clock at night, I get really, really tired. And by 9:30, I just could hardly keep my head up. And so I told my wife, I'm going to go to bed. I'll organize my thoughts in the morning when I wake up, because I've been waking up about 5 o'clock every morning. And so I went to bed thinking, when I wake up tomorrow, it's going to be better. I'll have this same anointing tomorrow that I did today. It's going to be wonderful. Well, I woke up this morning, and I'm telling you, in my heart, I was totally bound. I mean, bound. I mean, I'm going, what am I going to do? I've got to preach this morning. I've got to share thoughts with people. And usually the heart, your heart is conveyed through the Spirit. And if your heart is bound, you're going to convey a thought of bondage, and it's going to be dreadful. And so I began to pray. I said, God, I don't know what's going on here, but this is dreadful. I've got to, and this last week, the last several days, I've been praying the prayers from Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. I've been thinking about these two chapters. And in chapter 4, it talks about how the elders are gathered around the throne of God. And just in front of the throne of God, there are these four beasts. In Revelation 4, 8, it says, and the four beasts, each of them had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And I've been praying this. And this morning I began praying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And I just say that over and over and just let my heart just rejoice in the Lord, saying, God, you are holy. God, you are holy. God, you are holy. Now, this verse also talks about these beasts, and this morning I was thinking about them, but more what they were saying, holy, holy, holy. But these beasts, it says they have eyes all over them, and I don't know theologically, I haven't studied this theologically, but to me, it just on the surface represents that God sees everything that's going on. That the eyes of these beasts are everywhere. It says they have eyes in front of them, eyes behind him. They see everything that's going on. And that's how God is. God sees everything that's going on in our lives. On planet Earth today, God sees everything that's going on. And what he's saying to us here is that we need to declare him holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 10, it says, and the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And so these, as I was praying this morning, as I began to pray, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and I began to think about the beasts and their eyes and the fact that God sees everything that's going on. He even sees where I am at this moment, and he sees it in my heart. I'm just bound up, and he understands my heart. And then the elders in this chapter represent all of Christianity, the whole church as a whole, the real church, those who know God, they represent that. And it says that they fell down before him. They laid their crowns, their rewards before he that sits on the throne. And they say, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. And I began to sing this in my heart. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O God, to receive praise and glory. And do you know that as I began to sing that this morning, I mean, in my heart, I started off just totally bound up. But as I begin to sing, holy, 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 Lord, as I begin to sing, Thou art worthy to receive praise and glory and honor, I began to praise God and lift up my heart to him in praise. Do you know, that heaviness began to dissipate. That bondage began to dissipate. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit began to come back to me as I praised him. So the first key I'd like to talk about this morning is praise. How no matter what position we find ourselves in when we begin to praise God and give him praise, I'll tell you, he sees us where we are. And in fact, it says that the praise that God inhabits the praises of his people. It says in Psalms over and over in the Bible, when people began to praise God, victories happened. One of the greatest victories of the Old Testament happened Jehoshaphat was being surrounded by the enemy, and he went to the prophets and they said to him that he was going to lead the army in battle the next day, because the battle was going to happen whether they were ready or not. The enemy had declared, "We are coming after you. We're going to destroy you." And so Jehoshaphat humbled himself and talked to the prophets, and they said, they described him how they're going to win the battle. He says that the choir is going to sing, and they're going to sing praise to God. And Jehoshaphat asked him, "Well, who's going to lead the army?" And they said, "You are." I just get a kick out of that. That's so funny, because often we feel so inadequate to fight the battles that God gives to us to fight. We feel inadequate. And if you talk to the prophet, the prophet said, "You're going to win this battle." And we're going to say, and we say, "Well, how are we going to win the battle?" And the prophet will say, "Well, you're going to win it by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. You are going to win this battle." And that's how Jehoshaphat was in this. He led the army into the battle. And you know, the Bible says that before the army could hold up their spear or their sword, that God set ambushments around and destroyed the enemy before them. And you know, that when we begin to praise God, God works on our behalf. So praise should be a mighty key that we use. We should be people of praise. When we praise him, God delivers victories into our hearts and into our lives on a personal level, and also in our lives. If we've got issues that we're dealing with at our work or in our neighborhood or wherever, challenges, if we begin to praise God, I'm telling you that the power of praise, God shows up in that praise and helps us with our lives. And then in the New Testament, there's a story of praise. I just love this one as well. I may have mentioned this before. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 16, Paul is and Silas are in jail. They had won that tremendous victory of this slave girl, and they had delivered her of the demon that held her down. And long story short, they end up in prison. And at night, it says, 16:25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying, and they're singing praises to God. And it says, and the prisoners heard them. In other words, it wasn't just silent praise. They were praising so that the other prisoners in the prison could hear them. And it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The power of praise looses the bands of bondage that people have when we begin to praise Him. What a mighty key. And as we use this key to unlock our situation, it says that whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever is locked on earth will be locked in heaven, what is unlocked on earth will be unlocked in heaven. So when we begin to use the key of praise to unlock our hearts, to unlock our situation is unlocked in heaven, and we can expect victories to come to us. Now, there's a prophet I like to listen to. His name is Tracy Cook, and here's a quote that he said recently. He says, I believe that we're living in the greatest hour of spiritual awakening. The glory of God is going to be fulfilled in this hour in greater measures than we have ever seen before. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to move in a greater way than He did in any previous revival. This is mind-boggling to think that God is going to move greater in the days, greater today than in the days of George Whitefield, the great English evangelist. God's presence will be known near and far. The disciples understood the power and authority of having the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. These are the days in which the Apostle Paul wished he lived in. These are the days in which Simon Peter wished he was alive. You become unstoppable when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the prophet here is saying to us today, and I think he would agree with what Matt had shared earlier about what's going on. We don't understand everything that's going on. If you look at the news, it's all negative. I mean, there are dreadful things happening on planet Earth. But at the same time, God is at work, and God is at work through His people. And as we praise Him, He unlocks our situation and is going to take care of us. Like, look at this blue chair. I got this chair 50% off. God takes care of me. God takes care of you as we praise Him. But one of the important things about responsibility is reverence for the Holy Spirit. Approaching the subject, he goes on to say, approaching the subject of the Holy Spirit inspires the same sacredness as being in the presence of God the Father. Jesus modeled this reverence for us while He was on the earth. In fact, He attributed greater duty of reverence to the Holy Spirit than even to Himself. He said that it would be forgiven for a person blaspheming the Father or the Son. But it says in Matthew 12:32, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. And so it's so important that we understand this reverence for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is work on planet Earth. He's going to use us, but we must be careful in our attitudes, our speaking about the Holy Spirit, and make sure that we give reverence to Him. When we reverence Him and seek Him, He releases keys for kingdom use in our lives in three general areas. And there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, the specific items are listed here. He talks about the gifts of revelatory gifts. He talks of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. He talks about inspirational gifts, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and power gifts. He talks about the power gifts, working of miracles, faith, and gifts of healings. And we have to be careful we don't let these things get mystical, because when they get mystical to us, then we tend to deny them. We don't allow their work. But the fact is, as God's people, when we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, these keys are unlocked inside of us, and they just happen. They flow in us, and God uses us for His glory when we're free to reverence the Holy Spirit the way we should. So we can't let them get mystical. Later, 1 Corinthians 14:1-4, it says that he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And so this morning, I just went through the list of gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians, but he says here, follow the way of love. And next week, maybe we'll get more into the gifts of the Spirit for use in our ministry and our work in our lives. But today I'm focused more on a personal level of me. I'm talking about me and you on a personal level, you, the praise that we give to God. And secondly here, the second key I think that is so powerful and important is the key of love. And so he says here in chapter 14, follow the way of love. And so split between chapter 12, where he's referencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he further references them in chapter 14, is chapter 13 of Corinthians. And you all know what this is. This is the most powerful chapter in the Bible on the love of God. It says chapter 13 ends, verse 13, it says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so he starts the chapter, he says, and this is such a, I can't underestimate this key of the kingdom of God. It's the love of God that God gives us. And what the love that he describes here is a unconditional, a Greek word would be agape love. It's unconditional. And God, through his son Jesus, gives us this love. It's the kind of love that we, as human beings, we can't just work it up. It has to be given to us from heaven. God gives us this kind of love that we can love the world. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, and he says, the Greek word would be agape love, he says, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, he says, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not agape love, he says, I gain nothing. It says, he goes on to say, verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. He says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. He says, verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For right now, he says, in our human life right now, he says, for right now, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. And then he says, now these three remain. He says, faith, hope, and love. The most critical virtues for the human life, faith, hope, and love. And he says, and the greatest of these is love. And so all these gifts are so very important, but he says they're completely, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. They're all important, but without love, they're completely useless. Romans 5:8, I just love this verse. He says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love to us. He died for while we were yet sinners, when we were in rebellion to him, when we were hating him, when we had this attitude against him, he loved us. He died for us. He made it possible for us to come to God. And so we've received that love. And today we stand redeemed before the Father, and we can commune with God. We can speak directly to God the Father because of the love of Jesus. He fills us with his love, and it makes it possible for us to love others. How important that love of God is. And so in a wicked world, the second important key that he gives to us is the love of the Father, the love of God. And then the third key I'd like to talk about this morning that love kind of leads us to is forgiveness. And we talked about binding and loosing, and that's in Matthew chapter 16. But as you go further into Matthew in chapter 18, verse 18, it says, and I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But this time, it's a little bit different context of what he's trying to say. He repeats the statement that he did in 16 about the church prevailing and Peter having the keys of the kingdom. And he further talks about this in chapter 18. But here, the context is different. He talks about, he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about forgiving other people. In fact, he goes into great detail in harmony in the church. He's talking about harmony in our personal lives, what we should do if a brother sins against us. He says in verse 16, that if we have a problem with someone, then we need to confront them and go to them and tell them what they did wrong. And he says, if they will listen to us, then we'll have gained our brother. He says, if they don't listen to us, then we need to take another person and go with them and confront them again. And if they still don't listen, then take it to the church, like the church board or the elders of the church. And then if they still don't listen after we basically repented or tried to clear up the problem, whatever it was, you know, expressing our forgiveness for them, then we're to treat them like we would a tax collector or an infidel. In other words, these are steps of forgiveness that really are serious. I mean, this is a serious way of dealing with problems. And you don't just, you know, underestimate this. This is something that's very important. So God gives us this way of dealing with church issues and family problems and problems with people that are offensive to us. And he gives us this then. And he says, he uses then the same phrase, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so he's given us the steps of harmony in the church, speaking about what to do if we are offended by another person. He's talking about forgiveness. And he's emphasizing the importance of forgiveness. In fact, in Mark chapter 11, this is a really interesting passage. I just love this one as well. He's walking with his, and this is just before he's to be crucified. And it's the story of the withered tree. And so Jesus is leaving, going to Jerusalem with his disciples, and he's hungry, it says. And so he walks up to this fig tree and wants to pick a fig off of the tree and eat it because he's hungry. And it doesn't have any figs on it, and he curses a tree. And so they go to Jerusalem, they come back, and then the next morning, they're going back to Jerusalem, and they see this tree that's withered up from the root. I mean, this tree has completely dried up. It's dead. And Peter is in awe. He says, God, look at that. I mean, yesterday this tree was alive. Today it's dried up. And Jesus says to them, he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. In other words, what he's talking about here is the power of forgiveness. And here in this, in Mark, in Matthew 18, it's specifically about forgiveness and harmony and dealing with issues. In Mark chapter 11, it's about other things. He's talking about moving mountains. He's talking about a withered fig tree. And he's talking about faith. He's saying if we will believe in our hearts, and whatever we ask for, and if we'll have faith in our hearts, whatever we ask for in prayer, you're going to receive it. It's going to come to you. And he's saying here that we need to be firm in our faith. And here and often, faith is attached to forgiveness. It's so vital that we understand this, that forgiveness and faith are like tied together. They're bound together. When we are forgiving people, then our faith grows and it's mighty. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. And how important for us that we are willing to forgive. And in our world, in a wicked world, we're going to be offended over and over. And it's important. God is trying to speak to us, the church. He's saying to us, be careful not to hold resentment in your heart towards other people because of the things that they've done against you. And you know, the truth is this, without God's love, you know, forgiveness is impossible. I look at myself. I'm telling you, I don't have the capacity of really forgiving other people who have offended me in my life, except the key of love that he's already given to us. And when we use that key to unlock the key and use the key of forgiveness, I'm telling you, we become a mighty force on planet Earth. And so today our message is this, that we have three keys on a personal level, three keys to use. Number one is praise. Number two is the love of God. Number three is forgiveness. My challenge is let's be the people of God. We see what's going on around us. And like Matt says, he doesn't watch the news anymore. And I think that's wise because it is so depressing. Like I mentioned earlier, we got back to Belgium and there's this lockdown. And it's just depressing where businesses should be thriving. They're all dead. They're stopped. The airport should be bustling with people and it's shut down. The enemy is trying to bankrupt this world. I'm telling you, if he had his way, he would do it. But do you know he's not able to do it because God is over all and God is in charge over all, and God wants to use his church, his people, to challenge the world and bring life to the world. I don't know how this is going to happen. But I know that he's going to use you. He's going to use me as a conduit to breathe life into this planet Earth where we are today. And we're going to see a great, as Tracy Cook said, the greatest awakening, the greatest revival this world has ever come is coming to us. And there, Tracy Cook is quoting a little bit from Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and also from Acts chapter 2, but it says, in the last day, say, God, pour my spirit on all flesh. And we are beginning to see that. And what Matt spoke of earlier, we are beginning to see that. This revival is coming to us. And Tracy Cook went on to say in that quote afterwards, he says, and it's going to be primarily with young people. So when we pray, let's believe that God will use us to touch young people, to see a great, mighty move of God among students and among young people, to touch their lives and challenge them because they've been dealt a lie. The Antichrist and what he's saying to us today is lying to us. But I'm telling you, his truth will march on. The truth of God is coming to us. So let's be people of praise. Let's be people of love. Let's be people of forgiveness. The coming awakening will need to we'll need all these keys if we're going to see this awakening. Peter, as it says in First Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, the end of all things is near. And you know, I think I told you before, I had a secretary for 16 years. Anytime I talked about prophetic things, that she'd say, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me, because speaking about the end of all things is a little bit, in a way, it's a little bit depressing. But at the same time, we should be excited because we're being used by the glory of God. He's revealing his secrets to his people. And we're going to see this great awakening. We're going to see what we've prayed for many years. And so Peter says, the end of all things is near. And I think that we can say today that the end of all things is near. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work. And, you know, even John said that the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the man of lawlessness, is already at work. And this was 2,000 years ago. But now it is so much closer. And Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded. Be self-controlled so that you can pray. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And so, like it or not, we got to love each other. Like it or not, I'm sorry, you may not like me, but God is trying to say to you, you gotta love me. And I might not like you. I do, but I mean, I might meet someone I don't really like, but God is going to fill me with his love so that no matter what happens, I'm able to love others. And he's going to make it possible for us to be forgiving people. Praise, love, forgiveness. So let's pray for these powerful kingdom keys to be at work in our hearts. Let's pray that God will, even if we don't understand them, let's say, God, help me understand this. There are things, like I talked about, the eyes of these beasts. I don't understand that theologically. I don't know what's being said, but I do know that God sees everything. And I might not have a theological understanding of a concept. And you might not have a complete theological understanding of a concept. But you know if someone loves you, and you know if you've forgiven someone, and you know if you're praising or not. I mean, these things, you have to have the depths of the theology, but we can still use them. Just like a computer, you don't need to understand everything that goes on a computer. You just know if it works or not. And I'm telling you, these keys work to unlock the lock boxes of our world today. And these are the very keys that our world seeks. These are truths that our world is seeking today. And so let's be people of the book. Let's be people of praise. Let's be people of love. And let's be people of forgiveness. And we're going to see God move by his spirit. So let's pray. Lord, today, thank you for this time together. And God, I pray for my friends in Malmo. I pray, God, that you would give them these keys to unlock truths in their lives. Give them these keys to unlock situations that they're dealing with. Give them these keys, Lord, because it says that whatever we unlock on earth, you unlock in heaven. And we don't understand completely how you do it. You might send an angel, you send the Holy Spirit, however you do it. You might come yourself. I don't know, but you do answer our prayers. And you use angels to minister to saints. So God, today I pray that you will minister to my friends in Malmo, that you will touch their lives, and you will make them mighty people for this last day harvest. And you will give them these keys to unlock situations in their lives. You'll give them these keys to enhance their life. And I pray you reveal yourself to them in a mighty way. Just like this morning, I woke up bound, but I praised you when you just completely broke that bondage in my heart. And I pray that same thing when we go through these moments of bondage, that as we praise you, you will unlock that problem and bring joy and peace to our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd bless my friends. Bless Pastor Matz and Pastor Sarah, Lord, as they lead this congregation. Lord, use them for your glory. God, I pray that you will anoint them as Matz does his radio program to touch the hearts and lives of people in Malmo. God, use him. Flow through him your spirit, that as he shares your gospel, that you will use his words to touch the hearts of people. And for all of us, Lord, as we go about our daily business, that you will use us for your glory in these last days. As Peter says, the end of all things is near. We sense that we're close to the end, but the end is not yet. There's still work to be done. And Lord, we just yield ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. It's great being with you today. I've loved this moment and this time together. God bless you.